Well, delighted to be joined by former Donegal footballer Mark McHugh for AIB ahead of the GAA All-Ireland Senior Football Championship semi-final between Donegal and Galway this Sunday. AIB have also announced today the return of the Volunteer VIP competition, which gives GAA volunteers the opportunity to win a money-can't-buy behind-the-scenes tour of Croke Park on the morning of the GAA All-Ireland Senior Football Final, as well as tickets to the match. Details on how to enter the Volunteer VIP competition will be announced on Monday, so keep an eye out on the AIB GAA social media channels. Mark McHugh, how are you?
I'm good, Oisin. Very good. What about yourself?
I can't complain. Good. Big weekend ahead. The Volunteer VIP competition gives people a chance to get a behind-the-scenes tour of Croke Park on All-Ireland final day. They'll also get tickets for the match. When you go from playing into being a fan, and in your case, a commentator, do you develop a different kind of relationship with Croke Park? How different is it to go to Croke Park as a fan or someone who's working in the media to going as a player?
Yeah, completely. Because when you're a player, you're in a wee bubble. In that bubble, you're arriving on the bus. You don't even know what's going on, but you're just told to be there at a given time. Where when you're going as a supporter, or as you said, as a commentator, you're taking in, I suppose, the atmosphere a lot more even. You're going in, you're chatting to a lot more people, you're about the game, and you see a lot more of that to the stadium. I know now you say you can see the dressing room stuff as a player, but Croke Park, like, it's every place. We all dream, I suppose, as young kids. I have two boys and a girl at home there, and they're reading books about playing football, and that's all they want to do is play in Croke Park, you know. So we all dreamt of it, and It's even been in there this morning, like, what a fantastic stadium, like, you know, even for people coming up to see the museums and the Skyline tour. And like, I remember there for a few years, myself and Dad had our jerseys in the museum because we did father and son 1992 and 2012, so our jerseys were displayed. And I think there's different ones from different times, and it's so good to learn, I suppose, for anybody that hasn't done them tours, is the heritage of and the history of our sport, I suppose, you see in them places. But there's nothing like it, I suppose, especially in a capacity. Like, you look at the hurling there last weekend, like the atmosphere we had at it, and you know, I'm looking forward now to this weekend. There's nothing like, as a player, to get that roar. I remember we didn't have that many up. It wasn't full now. The All-Ireland semi-final against Cork in 2012, but that was the biggest Donegal roar I've ever heard. And that's including All-Ireland finals. But that roar that day against Cork was crazy. I suppose it was a lifetime of supporters to get back to that All-Ireland final. And I remember after the game, it was an adrenaline, it was a buzz, hey, that you'll kind of always remember. But it's for us from Donegal that hasn't been in an All-Ireland semi-final in, what, 10 years, it's nice to be coming up this weekend to look forward to a game that we're well capable of winning, like, you know.
Of course, in 2012, when you won the All-Ireland, Jim McGuinness was in charge. He's back now. Try and give me an insight into Jim if you can.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't have all day here, so I could sit and talk about the man and, you know, the brilliance of him, and it's been well documented, I suppose. And anybody even listens to Jim on a television or an interview, you'll get that aura that he carries about himself. And I suppose the best way I can describe him as a man, like, you know, firstly, his passion for Donegal. It's not just Donegal football, but his passion for Donegal and to see Donegal do well, whatever that may be, is second to none. The love he has then for the people of Donegal, and when he's chatting to you, you know, he's nearly representing Donegal as a player. And you know, if you're playing for him, you're playing for every man, woman, and child that's from Donegal, and you wear that crest. I'm just with that wee bit more pride. And you might go for that extra ball, or you might dive in that block, or you might kick that score. And you know, that's a silly thing to say, because you should be doing that anyway. But it's funny. It's just with the way he delivers it. I've never seen a man that can talk or talks as well as Jim McGuinness. And how he makes you feel when he talks to you. You come out of a room. I'm sure you've had a conversation with him, and you know, many people will have. You just come out of the room a better person. And I suppose that's the biggest compliment I give him to him. The biggest attribute as a not alone as tactical, I suppose, and as coaching, if you want to take that aside, the biggest attribute I think that he has, and I've, you know, said it now numerous times, but he makes you feel invincible, and that air of belief and that air of confidence that brings with it. Like, so what I mean by that is, if you could be playing the best players in the last 20 years, could be all brought together and playing, and there's not a chance that any team would beat them. A team managed by Dan McGuinness, would you believe that you're going to beat them? You know, and not only that you'll beat them, but you'll beat them easy. And you go onto a field and shake your opponent's hand, and it's not an aura of cockiness or arrogance. You're just pure enough, they're confident that you, if you follow what he has put on your plate, A, B, C, and D, if you follow that, you're going to win the game. And there's no way you can lose a game. No, and I've lost games under Jim McGuinness, and this team has lost games under Jim McGuinness, but that doesn't matter, because every game that you go out on that he's involved in, you can't even, you know how you have doubts before you do anything in life, should I do this or should I do that? There's no doubt in your mind that you are not going to win that game. And as I said, not even that you're going to win that game, but you're going to win it easy. And again, I've lost games, but that's just the biggest advantage, I suppose, or biggest attribute I think that he has, that makes you feel as a player that you can do anything. You'll win any game as long as you follow the game plan and trust the process. You hear him chat about it all the time, but trusting the process and following game plans, you know, and if you do that, you know, you'll be able to do anything. So that's where them boys are at. I'd love to be in that position again, because, you know, when I was there, you know, when Jim was there, I was a cub, you know, and I would love to have recorded all them conversation I had with them, and I'd love to have recorded team meetings and stuff like that you could actually look back in them, because I'll be straight, like, I can't remember some of them, because you're young and you think this is going to happen throughout your life, you know, and you don't really know. But in hindsight, it's a great thing. But I'd love to be back in that position. Them boys going into team meetings with him, and the way he makes you feel. Like, even he came in to have a chat with us a few years back as a different Donegal team, you know, just, and I remember there's a few lads that weren't involved with him before. I remember sitting beside Paul Brennan at the time, and Paul hadn't been involved with him, and he gave us a presentation, he gave us a talk, you know, and Paul came out of us, there's no wonder now why he's won the Ireland, like, you know. And that was only after one conversation with him, or one meeting. So they have this every day, and I'm not taking away from any other manager in Ireland, you know, what they can do this, but that's all I can say from my own experience, that's the way he made you feel. And after you do anything, you know, it's a wild thing to say, you should do anything for any manager you have. If he tells you jump, you are going as high as you can.
Try and give me an insight into the training. I was listening to Eamon Brannigan on Bully's podcast in the last couple of days, and Jim did one session with Galway. Maybe there were supposed to be more, but it ended up being one, because I think the story got leaked. But what he said, you know, it wasn't like he was doing anything special drill-wise, but it was the intensity. And what Eamon said was, if this is what they were doing in every session in Donegal, he could understand why they were so successful.
Yeah, and he's spot on, you know. It's very, very basics. There's not a wild lot of cones, you know. There's no these big fancy drills, and I have nothing against big fancy drills, but that's just not what he does. He does the very simple things to a level that you've never done them before in your life. Anybody listening to this will have done the drills that he have done, because they're straight line and flying half passing drills. They're truck and trailer around a circle, around a square. But when you do them with Jim McGuinness, for whatever reason, you do them harder. Because if you don't do them harder, you're being called out, firstly. Secondly, then, you know, he'll punish you as a group, where that may be press-ups, it might be extra runs at a session or something like that. So, you know, and that's where the standards come from. So the standards, and if you don't maintain them standards in every single drill and every single thing that you do, you'll be called out in it, and it'll be noticed, you know. And that is why, you know, I suppose when you're saying Eamon, that is what he does. It's a simple, basic things done to a level that you've never done them before. And every single drill, every single game, single meeting, if you want to say it, they are intense. They're intense, and they take a lot of energy. And that's obviously why he has his teams prepared to a level that they're able to carry that out.
Let's talk about the game this weekend, Donegal and Galway. Is it a clash of styles, and is it a case of styles makes fights?
Yeah, it's funny. The more you think of it, like, there's, I suppose Galway are the more probably physical team, and the bigger men are all around the middle of the field, and then where Donegal's kind of built on that running game that they've been known on all year. So it's probably who can counteract it the best. Can Galway track the runners that they need to track? Can Donegal cope with the physicality of Galway around the middle of the field? So yeah, it's I know it's a cliche, but it's a 50-50 game, like, you know, when it's going to be small, you know, margins that'll tip the scale in favour of either people. You know, you have to feel if Donegal are in a game at 60, 65 minutes, that they will just tip it because of maybe their level of conditioning, their level of fitness, and the injuries that we see that happened against Dublin, which is only 2 weeks ago, and 2 weeks is a short time. You know, you're coming around, any wee small niggle at all, it's hard to push it, like, but Patrick Joyce, on the other hand, you know, he looks like he's very, very old school. He'll just get on with it. You know, it's a wee small hurt. You're going to play hurt. You're going to train hurt. And that's the way he's done it. And that's the way he's been successful with it. But yeah, I think it's going to be cagey. You know, if you look at what Galway have done this year and the games they've played, nothing suggests to me that it's not going to be cagey early on. Could be 7-7 at half time, 8-8 maybe, a point or two either way. And it might open up a wee bit in the second half when subs start coming on or people start getting tired. And that's where I hopefully would think that Donegal might tip it. But again, Galway could be 2 or 3 points up at that stage and they might hold down for a lead. I have to say about Galway, they're tough men, tough men. There's no, I don't think they've any right nearly to be where they have been this year with what the challenges they've faced. They should not have survived Division 1.
But you mean like injury challenges?
Injury challenges, sorry, yeah, like that's what I mean. So they should not have survived Division 1. Not like they were putting out 4 or 5 of their starting team in games, but they did because they're tough. They grinded out ones. They grinded out the Sligo one when they really had to at the end of the game to get the goal. When they really had to get the scores against Mayo at the end, they got them. You know, slowly but surely they got boys back, and then they lost boys again. And you know, that's hard for a team to cope with that. But yet they're still in the Ireland series, and that's why we put them down to tough, hard men. And I even see it there myself from being down about Galway. You know, those last few months, you know, within the club scene and stuff like that, they're I don't know, is it something to do with, you know, people along the coast? They're just different breeds, maybe the Mayo and Galways and stuff like that. But they don't know when they're beat. Like even at Dublin at half time, it didn't look favourable for Galway. Like there's no point saying any different. But you know, they turned it around. Didn't look favourable against Mayo or Sligo and stuff like that. But they grind. They found a way to win. So Donegal will have to look at that and say, you know, lads, we're going to have to go to the right to the end if we're going to beat these. And they're going to earn their victory if they do. But again, I could go either way.
I presume you mean the West Coast and the Northwest Coast, because I'm from the coast, but I'm not very tough.
Well, I'm not sure, Oisín, but I don't spend much time over that side of the country.
Bring you down, you like?
I'm not sure. So no, but it's. I'm not saying it's a different breed in the water, but yeah, you have to.
Well, I get you though. Yeah,
you have to give them serious credit. You have to give them serious credit from what challenges, injury challenges, obviously they have faced this year. You know, they were missing 10 men in some league matches. Like you can go back to the game against Tyrone, where they're down 3 or 4 points at half time, away in Omagh, with basically nobody, you know, to call on. Johnny Heaney stands up and has one almighty second half. They got a goal, you know, and they grind it out. You know, Paul Connery in the middle of the field is a stalwart. You know, he doesn't know when he's beat either. Like he's kicking points for fun there as well, and just good. They're great footballing players. You know, they're big men, but they can play football. So yeah, and that's not even to start chatting about their inside forward line. You know, Comer, Finnerty, and Walsh. Like, you know, and Donegal will obviously have to come up with a plan for them. But they're definitely two different styles of football here. With Donegal more of a running team, where Galway's that physical slow down play, you know, kick points from around, you know, the arc instead of that running. So will it be a game for the purist? I can't see Galway letting it being a game for the purist, because then they'll probably know Donegal might run them, so they'll slow things down. And yeah, that's what I see. But again, if a gun to my head, just tipping it very, very slightly to Donegal because of that, the conditioning and the fitness coming down the straight.
And finally, you'll be on commentary this weekend with the great Paddy McGill. Great fellow, great commentator. When I listen to you and when I chat to you post-game, it's kind of easy to take the emotion out of it here a couple of days before the game. During matches, and I've commentated with you on games, I'm always struck about how you're able to take the emotion out of it and look at it coldly and analyse it. And your dad is the same on commentary, and I've commentated with him as well. How difficult is that to, even when Donegal are involved, to take the emotion out and just see what's going on? It's something you do incredibly well.
Yeah, well, you must not listen to me in Ulster final this year.
No, I heard the end. Yeah, no. I was, not only did I listen back to it, you were on BBC, even though you weren't on BBC because you were so loud. I was like, I was going to throw something at you. Go, Mark, I'm trying to work here.
I have to say that was one game. I think I made a few.
But that was at the end of the game, more
yeah,
so.
Like, I think I made a few comments that before that game about Armagh, and I probably shouldn't have. And it was more relief more than anything that day, and anxiety. But yeah, I try my best to be, I suppose, impartial. I have to do a job, but more than anything. But I do, you know, I think people listening to me, I suppose, an ocean enemy with Paddy, is they know that the love I have for Donegal as well. And obviously having a brother involved, you know, even makes that more special. And, you know, it's the one thing Ryan's missing. and his whole career is that All Ireland medal, like, you know, which is very, very, you know, and it'd be great, it'd be, you know, for our own family especially, but for himself and for them lads to be able to put themselves in a position. Listen, they'll firmly believe they'll be able to do it this weekend. I have no doubt about that. And no, the four teams can say the exact same things, because Galway did us all a service, say, by knocking out the Dubs. So I enjoy the call. I enjoy the co-com, you know, to be fair. It's because I'll be straight. If I go to a match, you know, and watch it, I get extremely nervous. I do get extremely nervous, and I suppose maybe that's having people involved or whatever. But even if I'm watching an old club match and I'm not involved, I'm nervous. So the co-com nearly passes the game through for me, and you have to concentrate, and you have to look at, you know, you're looking at the game tactically as a co-com. You're looking at the game, what matchups are going on here, what's the kick out. You're writing down stats. And by the time it's half time and the game's nearly over, you know, and that's suppose why I enjoy it. So no, me and Paddy have a good relationship there, and we take the piss out of each other in odd time, but it's good crack.
And I always look forward to listening to the Donegal Football Podcast that Paddy produces after the games. Mark McHugh, thanks for joining us. Of course, you're looking forward to Donegal against Galway this Sunday. And you were here for AIB today, and AIB have announced the return of the Volunteer VIP competition. People have the chance to win a behind-the-scenes tour of Croke Park on All-Ireland Final Day, on the morning of the All-Ireland Football Final. And of course, if you win that, then you'll get tickets for the game with it as well. The details for the competition and how to enter it will be released this Monday. That's July 15th, and you can keep an eye out on the AIBGA social media channels for all those details. Mark, thank you.
Thank you, Oisin.